This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 11 years now, first online and now as a podcast. We cover what's new and interesting, and we filter out all the BS. This podcast gives listeners a chance to hear at length from people and companies who are making a real mark in the industry with new ideas or just old-fashioned hard work and smarts. You can listen to episodes online, get it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to pull down the RSS feed. We now have a companion podcast called Projects, hosted by my longtime industry friend Michael Tutton. That show is all about digging deep on the creative and tech behind some landmark projects. 69 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. I've known Jerome Murray, the CEO of Nivori, for more than a decade, but we've never had much of a chance to have a good long chat. That changed at ISC a few weeks ago, when we slotted half an hour to talk about how the Swiss software company got started and where it's going. Jerome's a soft-spoken guy, but if you lean in, the story is pretty interesting. Nivori's been around for 20 years, and the company's first backers were LVMH, the luxury goods conglomerate that has brands like Louis Vuitton. We get into how the company has grown, and now has well in excess of 100,000 software licenses out in the field, including 25,000 on one network alone in the Middle East. Jerome talks about the five keys to good software, including a good explanation of native signage players versus web-based ones. We also talk about Nivori's plans, which include possibly buying some competitors. I'm here with Jerome Murray from Nivori. I've known each other for a long, long time, but this is the first time we'll sit and have a good long chat about the company. Just for people who don't know Nivori very well, can you kind of give me the background on what the company's all about, when it got started, all that sort of thing?
So the company was founded in 97.
Oh, really? That long ago?
So
20 years?
20 years ago.
Uh-huh. Did you find it or found it?
Yes,
okay.
I did found the company, and we got the help from the luxury group LVMH,
mm-hmm.
Louis Vuitton.
Mm-hmm.
And they did finance the company, the creation of the company, and the first generation of the software. They are still shareholder of the company, by the way.
Wow, that's good backing to start with.
Yeah, and we also cooperated with McDonald's in France, that mm-hmm. Did connect us with a company in Chicago, specialized in marketing, in operational marketing, and we have collaborated with this company, and within this company was Manolo Almagro.
Oh, Manolo, yeah.
You know him, so
yeah.
he's the guy who invented digital signage, actually.
I've never heard that claim, but that's interesting.
Yeah. 20 years ago, he had a menu board in his building in Chicago. He had everything you can see today. He was using Apple Macs to use a multi-display configuration. Mm. And it was primarily a marketing company. So it did help us a lot, because we understood initially that digital signage is not only technology
mm-hmm.
and hardware.
Yes.
But also communication, shape, concept.
Mm-hmm. And how did you find your way into the market? Like, what made you kind of decide, okay, there's an opportunity here? Was it through Manolo, or you were angling that way anyways?
It was through Manolo for McDonald's customer, and through LVMH.
Uh-huh.
We, at this time, came out the first flat display, plasma display,
mm-hmm.
produced by an American company called Clarity at this time.
I remember them, yeah.
And so we started deploying in 28 countries for Christian Dior perfumes and fragrances,
mm-hmm.
which at this time we were system integrator and producing our own software.
Oh, okay.
Already. And doing some international deployments did help us to find some local system integrator,
mm-hmm.
which would have helped the company to internationalize its
right.
marketing.
And the company is based outside of Lausanne, Switzerland, correct?
Yes, the company, the headquarter is based in Switzerland.
Uh-huh.
We have offices in Montreal, Canada,
mm-hmm.
and Riyadh in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, that's an interesting place to work.
And the last office, which we opened last year, is India, New Delhi.
Oh, wow. So you have developers down there?
We have a small development team. It's not the main one. But we also have salespeople to address this huge market.
Mm-hmm. And how many people within Nivori proper?
Totally, it's 40 people.
So 40 people?
We are still a tiny company.
Well, you're big compared to some of them. And if we were to talk in terms of scale, like the number of countries that you're in and number of devices that you're servicing, that sort of thing.
We address all continent except Asia at the moment, so through subsidiaries. So it's not, I'm not talking about distributor, but Navori employees. And we also have some salespeople in some countries where we do not have offices, like in Central and South America. And we address Europe and North America.
But are you 100,000 players, 50,000
The
players?
number of players, it's difficult to say, few hundred thousand.
Okay, so that you're a big player.
Yes.
How many?
Our largest deployment hosted by one customer and one server is 25,000 players.
Wow. And is that transport or retail?
Yes, it's transportation. It's a tablet display within taxis.
Right. Yeah, I remember reading about that.
It's advertising
And that's
space.
in the Middle East, right?
Yes.
That's in Riyadh?
Yes, it's in
Okay.
Saudi Arabia
Okay.
and some surrounding countries.
Okay. How is that to work in that country, in that region?
You have to understand the international business because you have to deal with people that are quite different from us. But so far we did well, and you also have to translate your software in Arabic and to hire Arabic people to market the product. That's the point. And once you understand that, it's okay.
So you've been involved in the sector now for 20 years.
Yes.
You've watched it grow exponentially. And is it, what's your take on having been very, very early in the market, seeing hundreds of software companies out there and still more coming in? Does that make any sense to you?
When you say software, it depends what software you are
CMS,
talking about.
content
CMS,
management.
yeah. It's difficult question. I mean, I can still see a difference between the first companies and the new one that were created later after that. And you still see some, I mean, companies like Navori, BroadSign, and others that are, I mean, thriving. And I personally, I don't understand how it would be possible to, I mean, to create a company to produce a digital signage software and get sufficient level of revenues to finance the cost without being international. So this is something that is very important. You need the volume to finance the research and development.
And you've got all these years invested in it, new companies come in, and the barrier to entry is quite low to create a base system. How much of a challenge is it when you've got a very mature system to compete against somebody who says, we're simple, we're easy to use, all of those nice words, but the product itself is pretty shallow?
You have two types of software. You need to distinguish both types. You have web players that are quite easy to develop, cheap, even cheap to develop, but this type of software comes with some technical limitation in terms of playback quality, what a customer can do with it. These softwares have an engine that is not produced by the software editors, but by the screen manufacturers usually. So it's just some kind of system integration on which you put a CMS on an engine that has been built by someone else. The problem of this software, which represents 90% of the software available on the market, is that you cannot do everything because they have technical limitations due to the web technology. Then you have the companies like Navori and others that come with a native software, so it's more a professional software, and it's more intended to digital signage operator or system integrators. This software has five differentiators, if you need to go in details. The first one is the quality of playback. These software are native software, and the quality of playback has a TV broadcast look and feel. You can do everything with this software, and it doesn't have the limitations. The second point is the cross-platform availability. So a good software should run on any platform. It's not the case of all software.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, at Navori, we run on Windows, Android, and Tizen, providing a native software.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big difference.
So you've got native player on Tizen.
We will have for DSE.
Okay.
We will release a native player on Tizen, and mm-hmm. we will be the only company that has been allowed to do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of companies that have done work and put their product on smart displays, but as you say, a hell of a lot of them are just web players and mm-hmm. pretty limited in terms of what they can do.
We had to negotiate for several months in order to have the ability to develop a native player on this platform.
Mm-hmm. To get out their SDKs and everything?
The SDK, if you get the SDK, it's not native. It's web.
Okay.
But on top of that, we add some native components to make the product as good as on other platforms.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that, I'm kind of going off on a different track here, but do you see system-on-chip displays taking over a lot of the market?
Yes. The quality of a system-on-chip now is slightly better than a PC.
Oh, really?
On the latest generation of displays, okay. if you take a Philips D-Line, P-Line with octa-core mm-hmm. running Android,
mm-hmm.
Sharp, Hilo Touch, Panasonic, I mean, on this system-on-chip, they are powerful enough to have a better quality than a PC, especially on video playback because they use mobile components, which are more efficient
mm-hmm.
On video rendering, so yes.
Mm. That's interesting because the usual argument is, well, yes, you can run this on a system-on-chip, but you're making compromises in terms of quality and everything else.
Yes, because you have some software vendor that have a Windows native player and they use web technology to publish their software on SoC.
They get it to work.
Yes, but it's not good. But we did all native
mm-hmm.
On this device. So it's very, very interesting. Another point is that if you are a system integrator, you deploy 500 players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you use system on chip, you may save up to $300,000, which is quite important.
Yeah.
And it's easier to deploy. The maintenance of the player is handled by the display manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have screen control. We have a better screen control. So it's really, really, really good. And that's the future
mm-hmm.
for displays.
Yeah. Yeah. I've thought now for a while that as that technology has matured, it is going to take over. And really, with the exception of video walls and very special applications that are really processor intensive, mm-hmm. why would you have a separate playback device.
Yeah. PC are good for multi-display
mm-hmm.
and video synchronization and heavy-duty rendering.
Yeah.
But now the SoC can do everything for single display, anything,
mm-hmm.
including 4K.
Mm-hmm. In terms of Navori, is there a market that your company tends to focus on, retail or hospitality or whatever it may be?
We are a general software, so we do everything.
Uh-huh.
But we do not do it directly. Our strategy is to focus on what we call digital signage operators. And we provide to them master licensing, OEM,
mm-hmm.
and SDK, and many, many things. So we try to establish some kind of collaboration in each country
mm-hmm.
with one of the top three digital signage operators. And we provide the technology so they can deploy and address any market, any application.
Okay, so kind of you have it your channel.
Yes.
And how do you define digital signage operator? I think I know. I tend to call those guys solutions providers. Is that?
A digital signage operator is a company or a department within a company
mm-hmm.
That is specialized in digital signage. They do recurrent deployments. They don't work only on projects. They have several projects at a time, and they provide some kind of services.
Mm-hmm. So who would be a good example of that?
In Canada, Avida.
Oh, okay.
Avida is an operator.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And in the U.S.? Putting you on the spot.
Spectrio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
This type of companies.
Mm-hmm. So they're into a few things, but they have a business unit that focuses on this. They have some subject matter expertise and so
yes.
on. Have you seen any particular vertical market really take off in the last 2-3 years? Certainly QSR is an obvious one.
QSR, yes. Retail, I would say. Retail and comms.
Yeah, those are the ones I hear.
Yeah. it's the same. It has not changed.
Yeah. And why do you think corporate communications has kind of jumped the way it has? Because it's been around a long time, and it's really only been the last couple of years, from my perspective, when it's really started to happen, and a lot of companies seem to be selling into that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, international companies. We have amongst our customers some international companies that have some factory on the five continents,
mm-hmm.
and they deploy corporate communication, but there is a high level of sophistication, because the displays are connected to their management system, factory system. They display KPIs, they have alerts and stuff like that. So this market is also, this vertical is also developing very well, but it's more and more sophistication.
Mm-hmm. And with your platform, is it purely self-hosted, or do you have a software as a service version?
It's primarily on-premise, on-premise,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Self-hosted, but we do provide SaaS in bundle with an Android player for the distribution, like CDW.
Okay.
In North America and the equivalent in Europe.
Lower end opportunities where the cost is an issue and they don't.
We don't do low end, so it's still high end, but mm-hmm. it's a device that can be shipped with a software on SaaS.
Mm-hmm.
By distributors directly to.
And what was the thinking behind that? That was just a market demand that was there, and you needed to serve
it. The market demand, and they need a local office of Navori to handle the customer once the transaction is made by the distributor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the advantage we have. We have offices on several continents.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of costs involved in putting this podcast together, so I'm very grateful for the support this podcast will get from our new and sole sponsor, ScreenFeed. Here's founder and CEO, Jeremy Gavin.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. As content people, we love great content, and we think Dave's doing a great job with this 69 podcast, which is why we've offered to sponsor it. If you'd like to see the content that we create on a daily basis, head over to screenfeed.com and check it out. Let us know if we can help you in any project you're working on. And do me a favor, if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot me an email at jeremy@screenfeed.com. I'm always interested in new ways we can help. Now back to the podcast.
And the way the self-hosted on-premise platform works is, do you have digital signage operators who are providing that service as well? And they're almost like software as a service to their customer?
Yes, they actually buy the licenses from us, mm-hmm. and they host the server, and they usually rent licenses to their customers.
Okay. So by extension, it's a SaaS model. It's just up to your digital signage operators to worry about that part of it.
Exactly.
A lot of companies in this business have broadened their services
mm-hmm.
to go after other revenue resources because they're not seeing enough margin out of just reselling displays and off the software itself. They're getting into managed services. They're getting into even in some cases creative services. Mm-hmm. Are you guys doing any of that, or you're a software company?
Software only.
Yeah.
Technology engineering, but our customers are doing so.
Uh-huh.
Operators typically are doing.
Okay, so again, the same thing. If they want to do it that way, you this allows you guys to just stay focused on the core platform.
Yes, we have to because this market is very competitive, and we have to invest a lot in research and development.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, a good software life cycle was 10 years. Now it's only 5 years, and we have to invest more. There are more money at stake. So, I mean, the software market is so difficult that we have to focus 100% on it.
Mm-hmm. And why has that life cycle been cut in half?
It's because the demand increase. We have more and more competition from newcomers, and our main advantage is the experience and the research and development.
Mm-hmm. So it's not so much the technology itself moving as fast, it's just market demand and competition. You have to refresh it.
It's market demand, and it's also the new operating system that SOC that are available, because in digital signage software, the player is the most demanding part.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of resources, the CMS takes only 30% of the developers. And the player is the most important, especially when you do a native player, when mm-hmm. you produce a native player. Because a native player requires 7 times more resources than a web player to develop.
Yeah. And again, the web player guys, they're just relying on whatever Google wrote for Chrome or whatever it may be.
Exactly.
Which allows them to develop more rapidly, but it's not the same product.
And they have no control on the engine, in the sense that if they have a problem, they cannot fix it because they have not made the engine. They just called, they use the SDK as a media player, if you like. Mm-hmm. We produce the media player that is 100% proprietary on Android, Tizen, and Windows.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a bit more about emerging technology, obviously SoC. Are there other things that are happening out there that, particularly on the software side?
Software side. What impresses me is the surge of LED displays. Mm-hmm. If you come over Dubai, for instance, the top two shopping centers, top two malls, Dubai Mall and Emirates Mall, 90% of the outlets are running LED now. So the traditional displays seems to be a bit over for retail and for a shopping center within retail. So that's very interesting from a creative point of view because, using LED, they can... They can shape the communication, and they can shape the communication within the decor. And so I believe the LED will take over most of the retail part.
And does that put pressure on you guys because of the crazy resolutions that can come out of that?
Because we have a native player, we can play with a single PC and 12 outputs, and the resolution is actually not so high on LED. So. For us, it's perfect, and we have developed some product and some features, especially for LED.
Let's talk about data and real-time data. I suspect that's something that you've been working with for a long time now. Are you starting to see your digital signage operators and their customers taking advantage of that yet?
Oh, yes, definitely, because the content has always been a problem in digital signage. Mm-hmm. And software vendors like us, we integrate all social media, so it can feed. It can be used as a data feed to feed the content shown on screen. So that's a requirement. It's not a choice. Mm-hmm. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and everything can be integrated within a template or a CMS designer without coding in a simple way. So anyone can do it.
What about for integrating with management systems and data coming off of like traffic monitoring systems, this whole idea of the content on the display being determined somewhat by all the different pieces of data that could be coming in real time from different systems. Are you working with any clients that are doing that now?
Yes, we do provide an API on the player and an SDK on the server. And our customers, operators, are integrating such tools like face recognitions and multiple data and trigger content based on some data and events and so on. Mm-hmm. So it's developing a lot on the market. So you have Intel that used to release a technology. They are preparing a new technology for the end of this year with face recognition counting and there are some companies, most of them in Israel, that are using security cameras or cameras to analyze the flow in store to determine, to distinguish employees from customers, to determine how long they have been waiting and to trigger some content.
Okay.
And so digital signage from the software standpoint would be smarter and more complicated than it used to be.
So if you start doing that kind of thing, does using a system on chip display become problematic because you're also, the video cameras and all that would be a separate system and it's just you're pulling that data. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. But we have an API on Android. We will have one on Tizen and we have one on Windows. So the type of operating system or whether SoC or not does not matter.
Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff has come and gone through the years. Things that like video, face pattern detection that there was a big fuss about that and everybody was going to be using it and serving content based on who's in front of the screen. We'll measure emotion, all these sorts of things. There's been 3D displays, all kinds of different technologies that a lot of fuss made about, but they never really went anywhere. Mm-hmm. How do you guys deal with all the shiny objects that come along?
We just provide an API, enabling our customers to handle the interaction. Mm-hmm. We don't do it at our end because there are too many objects, too many concepts, and we just provide tools, mm-hmm. and the operator is coding.
You keep your head down, and if somebody else wants to do that, fine, yeah. but here's your platform to work yeah. with.
We have a saying in Switzerland, we say we cannot cut the pie and talk at the same time. So we are really focused on technology, research and development, player, engine, CMS, mm-hmm. and we provide tools, SDK, API, so customers can add the value by integrating some mm-hmm. Funny components. Mm-hmm.
There are lots of North American companies who have looked at Europe in particular and the Middle East and thought, well, we need to expand. We need to be a more global company, mm-hmm. and have attempted to go into Europe. And I've not seen a whole bunch of success of that. What's different about operating in Europe versus North America or other parts of the world?
In Europe, you have maybe 20 countries to go in and 20 different cultures. And usually different languages as well. Mm-hmm. So what is difficult is that you have to hire someone in each country to market your product. So it requires a level of investment that is higher than in North America. Mm-hmm.
So you can go the opposite way and have an office in Montreal and service North America.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's this assumption that, you know, I can have somebody in France and that'll be just fine for the Czech Republic and...
No,
it doesn't quite work that way.
At Navarro in Europe, we have one sales employee in France, another one in Germany. Mm-hmm. And usually Europe is divided in two parts, East, West. Mm-hmm. West can be handled by someone in France or in Belgium. And for the Eastern part of Europe, having someone in Germany is key because Germany is the largest market in Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm. And is it possible to have a product that's strong in a whole bunch of markets, or is it almost down to the country where you have a software company that's strong in France and another one, a different one that's strong in another market?
In each country, you have a local market leader.
Yeah.
That is 100% focused on its country. And usually the product is not at the same level as an international product in the sense that the market is smaller, so they have less resources to develop and mm-hmm. usually less time. But from the marketing standpoint and the presence on the field, they are much more intense. And so they usually dominate the market. So you have a leader in France, another leader in Germany, Austria, Germany. And they are the market leaders, yes. Mm-hmm. Because of the intensity of their sales force. They have several sales force, and usually they don't provide only software, but they also provide some kind of services.
So they're almost like a systems integrator.
They are a system integrator for resellers because they usually work with resellers.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Because their software doesn't have SDK. I mean, it's really standard software, so they do provide some system integration services to their mm-hmm. to their customers.
Coming from a small country like Switzerland, has it been a challenge to kind of globalize the company?
No, it's because Switzerland is a good country to develop business mm-hmm. and to test the product before exporting the licenses. So in terms of testing, Switzerland is very demanding in terms of technology, precision, and so on. So it's a good test. If you pass the Swiss test, then you can go outside the country, you can export.
Is that a formalized thing or is that just a way of doing business?
It's the way of living.
Okay.
And doing business.
So it's an informal ISO certification
yes.
in its own way.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
We have some kind of duty when we provide to a larger Swiss company some kind of software. And so they always have to validate the software prior we export. Hmm.
So does that elongate the development cycle?
Yes. Yes, by a wide margin. However, once the software is released, the level of support is lower. Mm-hmm. And so in the end, it's an advantage, it's a mm-hmm. benefit.
You're showing here at ISE, I think.
not this year.
Oh, you're not here? Okay.
No.
You were here last year, though, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. And why would you not? Is it just something you do every couple of years, or what's the thinking behind trade shows?
It's because this trade show turns out more as a trade show for AV resellers, resellers, and we are doing more than 60% of our revenue with operators. And for operators, we prefer to visit them on site.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. In North America, it's different. In North America, we attend to DSE every year.
And but you're still going through the digital signage operators in North America. It's not a direct sell.
No.
Okay. How are you planning to grow the company over the next couple of years without giving away your trade secrets? Or you can give them away if you want.
Acquisitions.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Of other software companies, or like that wouldn't make sense to me. What do you mean by acquisitions?
Yes, acquisition of other companies. We would never do system integrations or services.
Uh-huh.
So it would be software companies. That's the first leverage. And the second leverage is to develop some big agreements that we made with international companies for global deployments.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about the idea of acquisition of other software companies. If you've invested 20 years and have Swiss certified software, what are you getting by buying somebody else? Are you buying their client base?
Yes.
Okay.
You can buy the client.
Maybe they have some code that you want, but really you're looking at them.
It might be the clients, but also the knowledge. Because some other companies, other software vendor would have specialized on something we're not so
right.
good at.
So you're buying talent as well.
Yes.
Is this a ripe time to be doing that?
Oh, yes. It's always the right time.
Yeah. As somebody who's looking around, do you get a sense that there are a lot of companies selling or happy to have that conversation?
Yes. There are a lot of companies that have reached the end of the life cycle of their product at the moment. Companies that were created 10 years ago, 7 years ago, and they cannot afford to redevelop from scratch, which we do.
Right.
Which we do at Navori. We redevelop from scratch every 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
We are releasing a new product now, QL2, and the previous product, the version 1, was released 7 years ago, in 2010.
Okay, so these companies are at a bit of a crossroads. How, if somebody's listening to this, they're a software company, they'd love to talk to you. How do they do that?
They contact me over LinkedIn.
Okay.
Which they do.
Quite a bit.
Some few, yes, few.
Are you having meetings like that here this week?
No.
So what brings you here?
I came to visit you.
Wow, I'm and, honored.
And I would see so a few people.
So it can be efficient in its own way. You can run around and catch up on a number of meetings. And
yeah, yes.
2-hour flight back to Lausanne and
yes.
You're good.
Yes.
All right, well, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcasts are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.